There's all kinds of things that, again, the fast of Tammuz is totally unknown. It's essentially totally unknown in the Jewish world, and it's completely unknown in the Christian world. But it was a fast that was celebrated, if you will, for centuries and centuries, and it became one of the minor feasts or fasts, and slowly lost its distinction. But if you remember the period between the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab was when every bad thing that ever happened to ancient Israel happened. And the fast of Tammuz is when the temple was being destroyed, and it's when the walls of the city were breached. So Jerusalem, after the flesh, was breached, and finally then on the fast of Ab, it was destroyed. And the phrase that all of you have heard all of your life about being between the straits came from this period of time, from the 3 weeks between the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab. And it's the period of time in which you are caught between a rock and a hard place, when you have your choices, your options for things to take place in your life after the flesh are destroyed, and you're left in a position of total faith. It's a hard concept to understand because it can't be celebrated individually. It can't be celebrated in isolation. It has to be by a body of people who are on this particular journey that we are on. Now think, let's go to 2 Samuel and we'll start, see if we can see some of the things. On the fast of Tammuz, on that day is when the first thing that happened is Moses shattered the tables of the law, the first tables.
2 Samuel 12.
The next thing that happened is the daily offerings were discontinued in the temple. Now, that's a biggie. The next thing that happened was a breach was made in the wall, so that the idea that the breach made in the wall of Jerusalem, on both times that the temple was destroyed, on the 17th of Tammuz is when the breach was made in the wall, and once that was done, then the doom was certain. And by tradition, a Roman soldier wrapped a rabbi in the scrolls of the law and set them on fire. And so again, he went inside the Holy of Holies and wrapped the Torah around a rabbi and set it on fire. This is not during the two times it was destroyed. This was another desecration. But fundamentally, the fast of Tammuz celebrates or recognizes that your plans and your ambitions and your dreams after the flesh have no hope. And from the time of the fast of Tammuz until the fast of Ab, the 21 days of being between the straits, finally, on the fast of Ab, you'll come to that as a full understanding. It'll be a realization. And so it's not a neat time if you have any hopes and dreams left vis-a-vis the flesh. It's starting to begin to understand that this God stuff isn't good news to modern man. It's really bad news. And it can only be celebrated when there is a breach in your wall. Otherwise it'll be a meaningless phenomena. You'll go through the motions of of a fast, but it will be meaningless. But it's only at the time when you have an inkling that probably these little desires and hopes that you have that will give your life meaning, or you think they will, are probably a lie. And if it isn't for the resurrection, you are dead meat. That's the meaning of this fast. Let's see if we can look at it from another direction. 2 Samuel. Are you okay?
Yeah, I have a headache and I'm tired. I'm okay.
Nathan is a prophet that was extant about the time of David. And David is to whom all of the promises of God have to go through this line of David. And God and David had just done all this wild stuff about he caused Bathsheba's husband to be sent into battle knowing that he would be killed, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so now God is sending Nathan to David for a purposes of exhortation. And this scenario that we're about to read, especially from verse 13 to verse 20, tradition says this is what David saw on the fast of Tammuz. Okay? Now let's see if we can make it real in your life. Otherwise, it's just boring, stupid religious history. The readings for this time are really verse 13 through verse 20, but we're going to start in verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against that man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things, or whatever you wanted is the meaning. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them into thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun, or I will do it openly. Now, the act of repentance that you're about to see in David is what took place on the feast or the fast of Tammuz. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. This is Bathsheba's child. You remember? David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Now, the child of Bathsheba represents your adultery and fornication vis-a-vis going outside of God for your sustenance. That's the metaphor, that's the meaning. You understand? If you read Hosea, Hosea calls you adulterers and fornicators because you go to some place other than him for your sustenance, for your life, for your meaning, for your happiness. Any place other than God himself, God calls you and sees that you're an adulterer, a fornicator. Now, the child or the fruit of that fornication is what is represented by Bathsheba's child. You understand? You can mourn all you want. You can mourn and mourn and mourn and mourn. You can go without bread or without water. You can lie in the dust. You can cover yourself with sackcloth and ashes. You can cry all night in your sincerity. But that child must die if you are to be a part of this people. Now, no matter what it is, no matter how worthy you think it is, am I communicating? Understand?
Yes, very good.
So any satisfaction in life we get outside of? Outside of God?
The revelation of Christ. The child must die. The fruit of your fornication must die. Now let's see what happens. When David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. And the apparel he put on was the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand? He put on the fact that if Christ wasn't in it, it was nothing. He put on the apparel of that righteousness. No longer him trying to be right, no longer him trying to get it right. He put on the new apparel. He arose, he washed, and he put on new apparel. And came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. It's an incredible thing. Think about it.
No food for 7 days.
But his child just died. Everything after the flesh says, I must be in a state of mourning. In fact, the custom of Israel was that he would be in mourning for 30 days. He would turn all the furniture in his house upside down. But instead, he washed himself, he arose from the earth, he put on this new apparel and went before the Lord and worshiped. Now, to worship doesn't mean, oh God, why'd you do this? To worship has the connotation of intelligent agreement. It has the connotation of giving breath to, only to that. You know, I keep telling you, you've spent a lifetime thus far worshiping. You've spent a lifetime thus far paying tithes. You've spent a lifetime thus far being totally religious. You worship, you give breath to those things that you believe are your gods. You do it day after day, when in truth the things that you are giving breath to are the fruit of your fornication. You've always been religious. The whole world is religious. There's not an atheist among the world. They're just worshiping stupid gods. What they're in truth worshiping is the fruit of their fornication, and they call it God. You still think that paying tithes or worship is something optional. And so you go and do something for a while and you stop doing it and go doing something else. You're paying tithes. You pay 10% of your increase automatically to your chief God. You worship your chief God constantly. My role is to cause you to see the stupidity of continuing to worship these false gods that you're already worshiping. The Fast of Tammuz is the celebration of the destruction, or at least the breach in the wall of the temple, or the crack in the foundation of these false gods. There's nothing that you can feel, hear, see, touch, or smell that has anything to do with God, if everything doesn't have to do with God equally. Do you understand? It has to be all God, all joy, all His resurrection, or that's the evidence that you're worshiping the false God. Truth isn't dependent on sensory perception, and God is truth. So anything that you're worshiping, anything that you're giving importance to, that's based on the passage of time or based on your sensory perception, is in truth the child of your fornication. Do you understand? Clearly? You've given it all kinds of great names. But as a hunk of protoplasm, you're simply worshiping the fruit of your fornication. No one else in the world will tell you that. They'll put the name of God in the stuff you worship. Men will praise you when you doest well unto thyself.
This is the best example I've ever seen of what you said to me last night about when the soul mourns for what it's lost, the spirit rejoices. Amen. David, after the flesh mourned, as soon as it was gone, the spirit rejoiced.
He came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and what he had required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. And then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child when it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And you understand why? I mean, this is illegal. He did an illegality under Jewish law. He saw through the mystery. He saw that the Jews, he saw that this Bible was a parable of the one mystery, of the one journey. By God in heaven, that's what I want you to see. He saw Christ at this moment. Not some stupid religion, not some stupid idea of what you think you want. He loved the child. The child was everything to him. But the child had to die because it was the fruit of his fornication. That's why Jesus said, I'm convinced he said it at this time, no man can cometh unto me that does not hate his mother, his father, his wife, his children, his husband, his wife, yea, or whatever, in his own life also. Because all of them are the fruit of the fornication. He said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that your child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And the fruit of that repentance was the birth of Solomon, which is the birth of peace. Solomon is the word for peace. Do you understand? We are on this mystical journey from the world and trying to get to the best of the world or the land of Goshen. And we are on this journey to get to the promise, to get to the one place where the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Where you stopped reward and punishment. You stopped all the other things. And it's like climbing a mountain. You've heard me say this. And the milestones along this incredible mountain climb are the feasts and the fasts, because they are the signposts to bring you back to the one path. At the time of the fast of Tammuz, and between the fast of Tammuz and the fast of Ab, it's to be between the straits. And as we study it, it will happen to you. You get put between the straits so that the things after the flesh have to be squeezed to the point of death. That we can be in a position where we know no man after the flesh. You understand? I came. I have to wait a minute. Take it, big guy.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't make it.